Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
John Batson with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. This is the New World Report, a tale of two elections. Democracy is always in need of interpretation. The first election, Havana. Cuban lawmakers on Wednesday passed. Easily reelected Miguel Diaz-Canel as president for a second term as the country faces one of the biggest social and economic crises since Castro's 59 revolution. Diaz-Canel is leader of the Communist Party. He won a landslide 97.66% of the vote. All 470 members of the National Assembly are aligned with the Diaz-Canel. In other words, no surprise, it was democracy mocked. At the same time, we have Argentina with 104% inflation, bargaining again with the IMF about rescue packages, perhaps to sustain the debt, perhaps to solve it, facing an election within months in the fall of this year between the Peronistas, who are represented by a number of very prominent and powerful politicians, and those who are not Peronistas. And in any event, 104% inflation is enough to destroy any government, but I understand it's not necessarily determinative. Is that correct, Professor? The Argentine electorate is likely to return the Peronistas and this inflation if they're not given a different choice.
That's right, John. This is a interesting a comparison of two cases. We always expect with voters to reflect, throw the bums out if the bums are doing badly. And you have two cases, one with no real choice, just a procedural, the illusion of democracy, Cuba, and another case where, although there are some problems with the system, you still do have, some democratic alternative. In the case with Cuba, of course, this is the residual back to the vestiges of the old Cold War, that people's democracies, so to speak. And so in the Cuban case, we talked about this on the show. You had a couple of weeks ago the election of a representative assembly by groups, none of which were, permitted to be, anti-communist groups and none of which actually posed, real alternatives, candidate A versus candidate B. But on that slate that was actually, selected by pro-communist people, voters affirmed that slate, and then that slate affirmed the continuation of the the current President Miguel Diaz-Canel, who continues the legacy of course, former Fidel Castro and Raul Castro, who is now 91. Interesting again that in a country where you have just a horrible performance of the economy with a mismanagement of the military dominated industrial sector with severe supply problems. And it's not just because of bad U.S. sanctions, because you have openness to the Europeans, and you have openness to the rest of the region, who is right there and able to do business with Cuba. But Cuba has done a disastrous job in managing its economy, and for that reason, it's just you have hundreds of thousands of Cubans trying to flee the country, much like in Venezuela, where you have a similar problem with socialism. In the case of Argentina, again, you do have serious issues with government mismanagement, as you pointed out. You have massive inflation, just clocked in at over 100%, and it's been that way for now, really over 2 years now. You have, in addition to that, a severe drought, which has just decimated the export-oriented soy and corn and wheat sector. You have problems in other areas of the Argentine economy, which once had a vibrant, manufactured and biotech and in other sectors. And so just amidst all the problems in the Argentine economy, verging on debt default, scandals of corruption that linger, you have the question of the existing party, Alberto Fernandez, who is the one who embraced Vladimir Putin before his invasion of Ukraine. He and his Peronist movement is hugely unpopular, although they have their core supporters. Fernandez himself is polling about 20% popularity. You have some other candidates that on the left, but then you also have a range of different candidates on the right. People like the former security minister Patricia Bullrich, the current mayor of Buenos Aires Horacio Larreta, among others. And so, really, the question is: will the right be able to come together and articulate a common vision? So, in the midst of those profound problems and at least the semblance of democracy and a choice in Argentina, really the question is, the election is for the right to lose. It is their challenge to come up with a coherent message to connect the bad performance of the Peronists to everything that's happened in Argentina right now. And if Argentina will become the first country in South America, the first major country to step back from this, so to speak, a pink tide movement to the left that we've seen across the region in the past 3 years here.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, Strategic Studies Institute, The New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.